Life Radio.
Stories at the intersection of music and life.
Hello and welcome to Music Life Radio. I am your host, Dan Sauter. We have a little bit of a companion piece to the John Montagna podcast. We get into a little bit of a technical discussion about basses and bass names and gear and stuff like that. And it's very interesting for musicians and bass players, maybe not so interesting for most of the other listeners. But hey, feel free to check it out. That's why we're putting it up. I thought it was pretty interesting. So we're making it a little companion piece. So sit back and relax and enjoy the first companion piece to a Music Life Radio podcast. John Montagna talks bass. When did you pick up your first bass guitar?
In 1984, and it was my Uncle Peter's Dan Electro Longhorn that my dad owned. I saw my dad every Sunday. My folks were divorced, and we visited with him every Sunday. And he's a guitarist, and he had been in a band with my uncle and my mom, actually, back in the day, around the time I was born. And he had my uncle's bass, this old Dan Electro. And I had been playing guitar probably about 2 years, and we would jam on Sundays and stuff. And at one point, he just said, "Hey, why don't you try the bass?" I said, "Well, what are the strings on it?" He says, "What's the top four strings on a guitar? Just an octave lower." And he hands me the Dan Electro, probably still had the same strings on it from like 1970 or 71, and plugs it into his little Polytone Mini Brute amp, and I started, plucking away. So 1984, so I was 12. I just kind of got into it. I mean, at the time, there was a lot of music on the radio that had very prominent bass parts. Every Time You Go Away by Paul Young, 99 Luft Balloons, White Lines, Borderline by Madonna. There were a lot of pop songs where the bass was like up front in the mix and drove the song. So it was sort of a good time to develop an awareness of the bass and bass playing. And I don't think I really made a conscious decision to say, "Oh, now I'm a bass player," because I was already playing guitar. I was playing drums, I was playing keyboards, but I kind of wound up being the bass player by default in a lot of the bands that I was in, just because I was usually the only one that played it, and I owned one. I had this other bass that my uncle had actually built, a bass in the shape of a Gibson Explorer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. My grandfather built nylon string guitars. He built classical guitars. So there was guitar hardware stuff all in the basement. And my uncle had tried his hand at building a solid body electric bass, but he built it in the shape of an Explorer. So I had that for a while, and I would pluck on that at home. Or sometimes I would just play bass lines on an acoustic guitar until I saw my dad on Sundays. We went over there and I'd play the Dan Electro. First bass I ever owned was a PV Fury. All black with one pickup in the middle. It was basically like a precision bass copy. Yeah, that was like my bass for a long time.
Yeah, that's cool. I had a PV Patriot when I started.
there were great basses for young people. I mean, they're excellent basses now, but I mean, they made really good cheap basses. I think I got that one for my birthday. We went to Sam Ash on Kings Highway. And the first one I saw was a natural wood finish, and I think there were a couple of nicks in the body, and I was like, but then they brought out the black one. I was like, yeah, all black. Yeah, rock and roll.
None more black.
None more black. Then my dad gave me his Rickenbacker. He had a Rickenbacker 4001 that he just bequeathed to me. It was like, I'm not playing this here. It's yours. So that was my axe for a while. I mean, I played in the jazz band in high school with that. I went to Berkeley with the Rickenbacker and the PV as my my basses. While I was at Berkeley, I got my Fender Jazz. That was my main axe for a long time. I also got a Gibson EB3 for $250 before the whole vintage guitar craze started. This was 1990, and the shred thing was in full swing, and everybody was playing, you know, basses with nine strings on them and scalloped frets and yeah. you know fluorescent pink paint jobs. And I was heavily into Cream and Jack Bruce at the time, and saw this this beautiful Gibson EB3, you know, like the SG shape, the double cutaway, and it was $250, and snatched that up. I alternated between the Jazz and the Gibson for a long time, and then after I'd been playing with Alan Parsons for about a year, this is going, you know, many, many years later, I just got tired of the Jazz bass, because it was just, the Parsons gig, I helped me kind of rediscover my love of, you know, classic English rock, and I needed a bass that was, that had a little more growl and a little more punch to it. The Jazz bass was just a little bit too polite for my taste. You know, I would dig into a Jazz bass with the pick, and it would just go, "Ooh, you're hurting me." You know, and plus being on stage, you know, the nature of the Parsons gig was such that, you know, he was sort of in the background, like the mysterious producer guy. You know, the front line of the band was me, Godfrey Townsend, our guitarist, and the lead singer. So I got a lot of face time, and I needed a bass that was a little bit smaller that I could move around on stage with a little bit easier, and I was singing a lot. So I tried out a Spectre and fell in love with it and got in touch with them, and now I'm a Spectre guy. I mean, I still have my Jazz, I still have my Rickenbacker, still have the Gibson, but I would say 98% of the time I'm on, I'm playing my Spectre, my Rebop Deluxe Black Cherry Burst finish with flat wounds on it.
Yeah, I heard you got into the flat wounds.
Well, I got into the flat wounds for the Happy Together tour, just because when I started studying those bass lines on those records, I just said, you know what, I'm going to need flats to really get the authentic feel and the, you know, the authentic sound. You have round wounds clacking away on some of these songs is really going to be a drag. So I put the flats on. I had my tech over at Mandolin Brothers in Staten Island, Gil Rosato. I had him do it because I knew the intonation would get screwed up. So I had him do it for me because I didn't want to, you know, make any mistakes. I'm pretty much a dum-dum when it comes to that kind of stuff. And I didn't want to show up for the first day of rehearsals and have, you know, be all out of tune and everything. So brought the bass home, jammed with it a little bit, fell in love with the way they sound, sounded and the way they felt. Used the flat wounds on a couple of gigs before the tour started and was just blown away with how much thicker everything sounded. Maybe it was the thing of having some of the overtones missing. You know, it just sits in the mix a little bit better, not competing for frequency space with cymbals and stuff like that. So I may stick with flat wounds permanently. You know, they're easier on my fingers. They sound good when I do my solo stuff.
What kind of amp do you use?
Well, I'm sort of between amps at the moment. I was an Eden guy for many years. Right after my daughter was born, I developed some back problems. I had two herniated discs. I still have them.
Ouch.
You know, they never, well, you know, once the discs start to bulge out, they don't go back in. So the best you can hope for is to just sort of manage them. And, I mean, I could point to, you know, carrying the baby around, or, you know, moving a piece of furniture at IKEA, or, you know, this event or that event. The fact that just, be, you know, 36 years of lousy posture and carrying amps and moving stuff, you know, and not using your knees just finally caught up with me. So I started doing gigs where if I found out that the venue had a house bass rig, I would just use that. So I don't really, at the moment, I don't have any particular allegiance to one amp company. Hang on a second.
Sure.
My daughter wants to hug me before she goes in for her nap.
Oh, so. Well, that sounds good.
Where's my sweet girl? This is Francesca, who we've already met. Hi, sweet girl. Say hello, Dan.
Hello, again.
Hi, Francesca. How you doing?
Hang on. Let me get you into the speakers here. Hang on. Say hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Can you sing Music Life Radio?
Music Life Radio.
Okay. Yeah, very good.
Okay. Hi, Daddy.
Hi. Francesca, can you sing Yellow Submarine? Sing Yellow Submarine.
Yellow Submarine.
Yeah. She's obsessed with the Yellow Submarine movie now.
Oh, nice.
No, so I don't have any real amp allegiance right now. Like tonight, I'm playing at B.B. King's with Hey Jude, my country Beatles tribute. That's Hey, H-A-Y, Jude. And they've got a Hartke rig there, so tonight I'm a Hartke guy. But Saturday night, we played at K.J. Farrell's. It was a club in Belmore that's got a very nice PV-TNT combo amp. So Saturday I was a PV guy. At home, I'm usually recording direct through something made by Tech 21, either a bass driver or they have a VT bass pedal, it's called. It's basically like a bass overdrive thing. So no real amp allegiance at the moment. Just as a out of convenience, and you know, if I can avoid carrying anything.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, usually when I play bass, I play bass and guitar.
Okay,
and I usually don't have a preference either. I have like a Line 6 lowdown amp in our practice studio, but it's one of these amps. I don't know if you're familiar with that line, but it's a
Line 6. Sure,
yeah, it's kind of like a modeling amp. But you know, I use one setting on there, which was like the British, you know, rock amp setting, and it's got 10 billion other settings on it, and I never use any of them.
Well, I have a pod that I do all my guitar, my electric guitar stuff through. Again, just because I'm lazy and I'm usually in a hurry to get my parts down. So I'll plug the thing into a pod, you know, put one of the, you know, British high gain settings on, and you know, boom, there's my guitar sound, just from, you know, from my ham-fisted, recycled Clapton licks that I do.
Yeah.
I've never really been a tremendous fan of Line 6's bass stuff, though.
Yeah,
bass modeling. I have a certain allegiance to Tech 21 because I know some of those guys here in New York, and they've been very kind to me. I got a bass driver pedal, a Sans amp bass driver box, years ago that is still kicking ass after like 15 years. The thing still sounds great. And also I use it on the Happy Together tour for the Mark Lindsay set. Some of those Paul Revere and the Raiders songs have a fuzz bass on them.
Yeah.
And talking to Mark Lindsay about it, the fuzz bass was usually overdubbed after the fact. They would put down a regular bass part on a P bass, and then Fang, I think was the bass player's name, would overdub a fuzz bass. So I didn't want to just put a fuzz on the bass, because then that would destroy all the low end. So the bass driver pedal has an overdrive thing that you can control the blend, so you can get like the dry bass signal and the fuzz on top of it. And so when we do Hungry or Stepping Out, one of the songs that has a fuzz bass on it, I kick in the bass driver pedal. That's actually brings me to a funny story.
All right.
Well, when I started studying the Paul Revere and the Raiders stuff, because like I mentioned on the tour diary, I knew who Paul Revere and the Raiders were. I knew that they dressed up in the colonial outfits and all that stuff. But the only song of theirs that I knew was Kicks. So when I got the Mark Lindsay set to learn, I started listening to all of the songs, and I started hearing fuzz bass. And I said, all right, well, we got a fuzz bass situation. What am I going to do? I got to get a fuzz pedal. And I'm like, well, if I kick a fuzz pedal in, that's going to eat the low frequencies up. Maybe I should run the bass signal in stereo, get a second amp, just for the fuzz, you know, run the fuzz pedal signal out to a second amp. And then I thought, well, you know what? The producers of the tour are never going to go for that. I don't want to cause trouble and make everything a hassle for Ron, our tour manager, make it a hassle for Jason, stage tech, or for Mark. You know, oh, wait a second, Mark, we can't do Hungry tonight because the second amp busted or whatever. So I'm like, all right, fuzz bass on the Raider stuff. So then I get the bass driver pedal out and I figure out the blend situation. I get the exact sweet spot where you can still hear the dry bass signal, but then there's also fuzz on top of it. We get through the rehearsal, first couple of shows with Lindsay, and Mark Lindsay is like one of the nicest guys in rock and roll. Very down to earth, very cool, very approachable, rides the tour bus with us and hangs out with us, tells us all kinds of stories. Just a great guy. So we start talking about the fuzz bass situation, and he's like, yeah, that, you know, that fuzz bass on some of those songs, you know, do you have a different fuzz pedal that you can use or da 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 da? And I said, well, the problem with putting a fuzz box on the bass is that the low end's going to be eaten up. Da, da, da. He says, well, maybe we could get a second amp and run the fuzz box signal to a second amp. We should find out about that. I'm like, I already thought about that. I didn't want to cause trouble, you know, but now the order's coming directly from Lindsay. It wound up not happening, but just after all that, like, they're never going to go for that. For the man himself to say, like, well, maybe we should get a second amp.
Yeah. You know. So what did you end up using? Just the Sans amp?
I just used the Sans amp pedal. I mean, my rig on the Happy Together store, they've got a Hartke, your basic 3500 head, two 410s. I have a Boss tuner pedal, you know, that white tuner pedal that Boss makes.
I got them too.
And the Sans amp pedal. And I duct taped those to the floor. The tuner pedal is a mute switch. I share the bass rig with Nick Fortuna, who's the bassist from the Buckinghams. He plays like he has an Ibanez. I think it's a 5-string. In any case, we share the rig. Our settings are basically the same. And the only other time that I use the fuzz setting is with the Mickey Dolenz set during A Little Bit Me, A Little Bit You. There's during the intros, there's like this distorted bass. It's like a low guitar line that comes in. This dong, 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 right before the verses start. And I've taken to kicking the fuzz in and playing that line because neither of the guitar players are doing it. So I'll usually play it and kick the fuzz on for that.
That ends the companion piece to the John Montagna podcast. We hope you enjoy it. We enjoyed producing it for you. We're going to leave you with a song from John Montagna, Fire Sign Blues, off of his 418 album, Pleasant Tension.
To where you started from. where you started from.
Coffee, ice cream, champagne and silence. Her shoes on the pavement, testing your patience. Freezing, side street in this east side nonsense. You both wanted the same thing, so why? Asking why your senses are never gratified, and even when you're safe inside, there's always something you can't find. You're asking why your senses are never gratified, and even when you're safe inside, there's always something you can't find. Now you're back where you started from, started from, started from. Where you started from, started from, started from. Now you're back where you started from, started from, started from. Now you're back where you started from, started from, started from, started from. Senses are never gratified, and when you're safe inside, there's always something you can't find. You're asking why your senses are never gratified, and even when you're safe inside, there's always something you can't find. Asking why your senses are never gratified, and even when you're safe inside, there's always something, always something.
Please support the artists on Music Life Radio when you can. In this case, go to John Montagna's website. That's JohnMontagna.com. And you can also look him up on iTunes, and you can buy his stuff right there. Great music. I've got it all, and I encourage you to go out and check it out and support these artists. Thanks.